from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe Montana, Tom Rothman, Roger Craig. You know what I'm saying? Later on, Steve Young, Ricky Waters. Those checkdowns, because that's one thing I was listening to when I was watching the Georgia game. And Sean McDonough was on a call. Who was it? I think Greg McElroy, former quarterback from Alabama.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how Georgia had the best third down percentage because on first and second down, they were always ahead of the sticks. Hey, second and four, second and three, third and two, get first down yardage, you get 7 yards, you get 5 yards. And that's one thing the Niners did last year. Their first and second downs, they were setting themselves up for third and four, third and three, which opens up the entire playbook. You're sitting there on a third and three or third and four, you can still run a halfback draw, still run a quick little screen pass. Want to run an option route? Great. Receiver screen? Awesome. You got so many options, so getting ahead of the sticks, and that's what Brock Purdy does. And that's the greatness of being, yes, of course a quarterback is a game manager. He has to manage the offense and make sure that you're in great down and distance situations. Nobody wants to face third nine. Third and 11, third and 12, which you saw a lot of in the Super Bowl. We saw a lot of long down and distances in that Super Bowl with third and sevens, third and eights, third and nines. Brock Purdy keeps his team on schedule. Mm-hmm. That's the mark of a very good quarterback. And then can you elevate the system? When the chunk plays there to be had, can you make it? That's what separates the goods from the greats. Brock Purdy's not great yet. But last year we saw, hey, when it's an opportunity to take a chunk play, I'm going to go take it. And he took a lot of them last season, which catapulted him into the MVP conversation. So you got to, the whole system quarterback, I'm so with Greg Cosell. It's such an overplayed used term. He's just a game manager and a system quarterback. Duh, they're all playing in a system. And yes, their job is to manage a game like a pitcher. A pitcher's supposed to manage a game.
Like the two of the, I don't know, most people are going to say like the best pocket quarterbacks of the last 25 years. They're going to say Brady and Manning, right? That's what I think most people. I would throw Brees in there, right?
Got to throw Drew Brees in there.
And then the other guy that I think gets lost because he didn't win enough, and I would blame the organization more, but like Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
And when I think of those guys, like all of those guys have one thing in common. They never had these wow plays, these crazy, you know, break four tackles, pump fake, roll out, throw across my body. They just killed you from the pocket with their brain.
Yep.
And a lot of these guys similarly didn't have the greatest arms, and their brain was their number one attribute, and they could read pre-snap who they wanted to go to. They were phenomenal in dissecting zone coverage and hitting those anticipation routes, and they were deadly accurate. And I think those are all the things, check, 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 that Brock Purdy does as well. But what I think Brock does that's really underrated is, and you saw this in the preseason a few times because of the bad, you know, protection up front.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make that free release guy coming off the edge completely miss. And he does have enough wiggle to get to the outside. He made a throw to Chris Conley in the preseason.
Yeah.
That if any other quarterback who's drafted, you know, in the first couple of rounds makes, I mean, we're going over and over. It was a rollout. The guy's coming right at him. He just pump fakes like at him, and the guy just jumps in the air.
A free rusher on the edge.
Yeah,
there.
And then he rolls out right like a shortstop on the run, and just bang, and hits Chris Conley. It was just a beautiful play.
Well, that's the pre-snap recognition where he knew a free edge rusher was going to come in scot-free. And so he knew, hey, I'm going to have to make a play out here on the edge. I already know that coming off this play action pass, turning my back to the to the defender. Let me roll out. I know that defender's coming. Let me get him a little puff fake. And that mobility by Brock Purdy is what helps this offense. It takes it to another level. And that's the one thing Jimmy didn't have. He couldn't extend plays. When Jimmy got hurt against Miami, he was trying to extend the play, and the play was going nowhere. That's the difference between him and Brock Purdy. There's a couple differences.
Accuracy.
But one right there is extending plays. Because when the play was dead, 3 seconds in, Jimmy, it's done. It's either going to be an interception or a batted ball. At least I know now with Brock Purdy, hey, if nothing's there initially, your first, second, third read, well, let me extend this play and let me see what I can make happen here. And he's done that a lot in the biggest moments. So 888-957-9570 as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. We're going to get Marty Lyons on, former color commentator for the New York Jets. We're going to go behind enemy lines and talk about Aaron Rodgers, their defense, their offense, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams. Where are the Jets at? What's their strength? What's their weaknesses? I think there's some points where the Niners can attack their defense. Also look at their offensive line saying, why can't Leonard Floyd and Nick Bosa have monster nights on Monday Night Football? Let's get to Marty Lyons here on the other side. That will be brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
This is Jeremiah from Fremont, also known as the Legendary, and you're listening to the Morning Rose with Vontae Hill and Butcher Boy Joe Shasky, two Bay Area homegrown legends themselves, everybody. And I want you guys, everybody, to stay with me now. The best part of waking up is the Morning Rose in your cup.
Oh! He was there yesterday. Jeremiah was there yesterday. He was on one. He was having a good time yesterday at Fremont Bank. Shout out to Fremont Bank. They're doing a great job at hosting. It was a really good summit. I had a lot of fun there. It's good to see Lo Neal. Dibs and Willie Renner in the bag. Steiny with Steiny.
Lo looks phenomenal.
Lo looks like he's in phenomenal. He is in great shape. He looks like he could play right now. Looks happy. Just looks really good. Lolo is always positive, too.
It's because he's actually sleeping. Yeah. You know, like when you work this morning shift and you don't sleep a whole lot. You know, I was up late last night and working out, waking up early, working out. You just get no sleep. No sleep. Why are you looking at me like that?
I got some great sleep last night.
I'm jealous.
Marty Lyons is going to join us in a second. He was part of the New York Sack Exchange, that great defensive line with the New York Jets in the 80s, late 90s. They went to a lot of playoff games. Lost a wild card game, lost a conference championship, lost a divisional round game to the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk to Marty Lyons, who's a longtime color commentator with the New York Jets. Now I believe he's working in the front office, but we're going to go behind enemy lines here. And I got to just say this about Brock Purdy. 510, I replied to him in XVC Bubble text. What's I don't that? Know why I do this. I got to stop doing this. He goes, Bonte, it's year three of Purdy. Why you sound like you're still on the fence because he doesn't have a back like your boy Jordan Love? And I don't know if he's trolling or what. But I just told you, I believe we got a franchise quarterback. How many times do I have to say,
I am happy with Brock Purdy?
And yeah, it ticks me off when people try to put me in this position because then originally I wasn't, nobody talked about Brock Purdy when he was at training camp. And then he came in against Tampa Bay, lit up Tom Brady. I'm like, oh my God. And in week two last year against the Reds, I said, I no longer have to worry about the damn quarterback. Now, we critique him, but I got Brock Purdy's the best quarterback we've had in an awful long time. So that's why my most important player this season is Nick Bosa. It's not even the quarterback. I'm not worried about Purdy or the offense. They're going to do what they do, which is average 30 points a game. They're going to light up other opposing defenses, and they're going to be fine. He's going to be back in the MVP race. Hell, should I play the cut from last year's summit? 5-1-0. Chill, man. Chill. We got a good quarterback, man. So I'm not on the fence about this guy. I'm not looking for Kirk Cousins. I'm not looking to upgrade for Brock Purdy right now. Now, if he falls flat on his face, which I don't anticipate happening, then we got another conversation.
I mean, that's all the players. Like, if CMC drops off, you think they're going to pay him $18 million next year? No. So I don't think that's Purdy exclusive.
Right. No, Purdy's going to be fine. I'm enjoying it.
You know, the one thing I have thought about is like, man, there's so much residue from losing these championships. And, you know, I was just looking at the roster and it's like, really, like of the prime players, like it's Kittle and Debo from that first Super Bowl. It's Warner and Bosa.
Yeah.
And that's about it. They've turned this roster over
in just five years.
Yeah.
That's why it's a year-to-year league.
Yeah, but I think everyone's worried about windows. And I'm not, they're not wrong. Like, you don't win forever. Ask New England. Like, you don't win. You have to develop and cultivate talent. But I feel like like they have done a really good job of that. And when I look at this year's draft, which is so much better than the last couple's, you got Malik Mustafa and Renardo Green, who are going to be playing on defense. You have Dominic Pooney, who's going to play. I think Jacob Cowan is going to play.
So yeah, Dominic Pooney starting at right guard. Starting.
So that's four players that I think from this draft, not even including your first round pick, and we'll see if he ends up playing at some point. He's healing up right now. You have four players from this draft who are going to make an impact at some point this year.
Yeah.
That's on a team that's supposed to have a Super Bowl window. That tells me you're doing a good job replenishing talent.
Let's be real. As long as you have Shanahan, John Lynch, Nick Bosa, and you got a Debo, Kittle, or Ayuk, and now you have Brock Purdy, why would that window close anytime soon? You have premium players at the most important positions in football.
Still in their prime.
Trent Williams hasn't slowed down yet. You know what I'm saying? So you got a left tackle, and he wants to play. He wants to play for the next 3 years. I'm cool with that. Play till you're 40. I'm good with that, Big Trent. I'm good with that. You got a premium player there. You got a premium player running back. You got a premium player quarterback. You got a premium player defensive end. You got a premium player middle linebacker. You got safeties. You got corners. Who the hell thinks this window's closing anytime soon?
No,
long as you have Shanahan and Lynch in place, this team is going to be in contention and in the mix for big things in the NFL. So I don't buy that either. I don't buy it either. Got a damn good team right now, and the band is back together. So all the hot seat talk and the contracts, this and that, I don't care to talk about Brock Purdy's contract whatsoever. I'm focused on the now. And right now I'm thinking, how can he get better? He's already good, but what's the next step for Brock Purdy? What's the next step? And so I'm eager to see that, because the young man is smart. The young man has come in, and this team has been explosive from the moment he stepped on the damn football field. It's actually really, again, if he would have won that Super Bowl, and I still think if he wins the Super Bowl, it's going to be one of the greatest stories in North American sport history. History. Wow. Last pick of the draft. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right, let's get to Marty Lyons. Marty Lyons was a longtime color commentator for the New York Jets. We're going to go behind enemy lines as we get ready for Monday Night Football, the season opener between the Jets and the Niners, September the 9th at Levi's Stadium. And Marty Lyons, if you kids don't know, do some research here. It's part of the New York Sack Exchange. And she asked, you know about the New York Sack Exchange.
Of course.
Mark Asino, Marty Lyons, Joe Klecko, who just was inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I believe, two seasons ago or before last season. And then Abdul Salam. And they got a 30 for 30 coming. How about that? You know I love me some 30 for 30s. Marty, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Roast here on 95.70 Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. How you doing this morning, Marty?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing out there?
Oh, we're fired up, man. We're fired up for Monday Night Football. Before we get into the game and break it down, you can break down some of the personnel that you guys have out there in New York City. A 30 for 30. How cool is that to be part of it? That's our dream here. We want to be part of a 30 for 30. The New York Sack Exchange. You guys are going to get your own program on ESPN.
Yeah, you know what? We're pretty excited about it. It's going to be very interesting how they put it together, because they interviewed each one of us individually, I think, for 3 hours, and then we did another 3 hours as a group. And it's going to be interesting. I tell you what, and I'm very happy that they have grandchildren where they can look at it and see it and go, oh, Poppy, what happened there? You know, it's going to be fun.
I am so excited to see the Jets and the Niners on Monday night. Have you gotten a look at Aaron Rodgers? Because I don't know what to expect from Aaron. I'm trying to do my homework on just the Jets in general. There has been very little film because he hasn't played, but a couple of snaps. How mobile does he look? I'm sure the arm looks great, but how mobile does he look? I'm very intrigued to see him play.
Well, I've seen him warm up before the preseason game, and I saw him over at training camp. And it seems like he's recovered 100%. He can roll out. He can still spin the ball. And the most important thing to me, what a great leader he is, because he inspires his teammates. And it's not just on the offensive side of the ball. It's on the defensive side of the ball. So they have a great opportunity. Monday night, everybody else is going to be watching. Let's showcase your talent. Let's go out there and try to win this one.
Marty Lyons here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. All guests are 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Real quick, before we get to the receivers and the running backs and all that stuff, you were a Jet.
We know about the history of the Jets. Chasky brought up something the other day, saying, boy, the Jets have only played 25 playoff games, 25 playoff games in franchise history. I believe you're a part of a handful of those in the 80s. What is it about playing for the Jets and that organization and that fan base where you guys have come up short a lot over the last, what, 40, 50 years?
Yeah, well, you're a good reminder of that, too.
I'm sorry. You know,
no, but that's okay. But if you look at the last 10 years, they've won 55 games and lost 108. Mm. It's difficult because you've got a fan base here that's hungry for a victory. They know the game of football. They're excited for you. But when you start playing bad football at home, they let you know.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. But I think that, you know what, you can't live in the past, and you can't say, well, you know what, history's going to repeat itself. Every year you have to be optimistic, and you have to say, maybe this year, or this year is our year, and go out and play like it is.
Yeah.
And you got to make plays.
So, Marty, you know, the Jets have iconic uniforms, and they went to, like, a rebrand. They went back to, like, the 80s style with this modern one that they're using. It reminds me more of the ones that you guys had in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Which one do you like? Do you like the all-white Joe Namath 1960s ones, or do you like the green ones that they're wearing currently?
Well, I like the green ones that they're wearing now, but it's, you know what, when you go out there and you watch practice and you see, like, a number 15, and that was Chuck Ramsey, he was our punter. Now that's a number that a quarterback is wearing. All those numbers kind of like you relive, like a number 63 and a 65, Joe Field, 73, not being worn because it's been retired for Joe Klecko, but 99, that's Mark Gastineau. And everybody knows that that's Mark Gastineau, but now Will McDonald's wearing it. So, yeah, you got to get used to it. Maybe it is going to bring them the type of recognition that they need. But the only way you get that recognition in the NFL, you got to win games.
No doubt.
You got to start fast. Yep. And this is a great opportunity to play on Monday night against the 49ers who went to the Super Bowl, who, in my opinion, could have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Ended up losing by three. But, you know, you look at the depth that they have and the leadership that they have, and, you know, Kyle Shanahan's doing a great job out there. It's going to be a challenge for them, but I think they're going to be ready.
Yeah, the Jets have a really good defense. Robert Saleh knows his program inside and out. Obviously, coach under Kyle Shanahan as a defensive coordinator. We miss Saleh. Saleh was a really good 49ers defensive coordinator, and I hope he turns it around out there against New York, or out there in New York, just not on Monday Night Football, Marty. But you brought up Mark Gastineau. And a lot of youngsters don't know about Mark Gastineau. Now, when I grew up, NFL films always replayed the divisional round game against the Cleveland Browns. And I guess he got a penalty late in that game, and a lot of people blamed him. But he put up some monster numbers. What was he like to play with? Because he's one of the best pass rushers that I think today's kids don't know about.
Yeah, I tell you what, every single Sunday he lined up to play the game. You know, and this will be pointed out in 30 for 30. We didn't really have a relationship with Mark Monday through Friday. Mark went his separate way. But on every game day, he lined up and played. And I remember when we came in 1979 as the number one, number two draft choices, we sat between Walt Michaels, the head coach, and he said, the name of the game is get to the quarterback. And I've always said to this day, coming from the University of Alabama, where we won three SEC titles, a national championship, 12 years as a player for the Jets, Mark Gastineau was probably one of the most talented athletes I've ever played with.
Wow. Wow. That gets your mic off.
No, that's crazy. So he was like a mercenary, huh? Nobody hung out with him. No one talked to him during the week. It's kind of like Nick Bosa.
Well, it's kind of like, you know what, you choose to live your life that way.
Oh.
You know, it wasn't isolation. We didn't choose that way. Mark chose it. And I think if Mark turns the page and he goes back 45 years, there's going to be certain things that Mark would have done different. And there's certainly things that I would have done differently. But you know what, you're 23, 24 years old, and you're in the limelight, and you do, you know, stupid things. You're an athlete. Here you are in New York, and we're the toast of the town. But when we lined up, it wasn't a matter of, hey, are you guys going to get to the quarterback today? It was how many times we were going to hit the quarterback. because when you have Joe Klecko at one end, Mark Gastineau at the other, they couldn't double-team both of them. And that was the year that both of them had over 20 sacks. So Abdul and I, all we had to do was, you know, the two of us had to take care of the three guys in the middle, and the outside took care of itself.
Yeah, Marty, when I think of you, the first thing I think of, like the name recognition, is giving him the business. You and Jim Kelly. Is that, have you guys ever, you ever had to apologize to him? The referee, Adam, for those that are listening, the younger crowd, yeah. There used to be a tape, and yeah. You were going after a ball with Jim Kelly. I believe he fumbled, and you got a couple swings in there, and the referee gave you a penalty and said he was giving him the business. It's an old
yeah.
timeline.
Well, you know, if you go back and you look, I think it was the first quarter, I pushed him out of bounds, and he got up. He didn't like it. You know, he threw the ball at me. I went over there, and I ended up getting my butt kicked because I was on their sideline. And then right before halftime, he rolled out. He threw the ball. I hit him, and now I'm laying on top of him. And we exchanged a few words, and next thing you know, I was popping him in the head a little bit, and he came through my face mask. But if you watch at the end also, I tap him on the helmet. I said, "Hey, Jim, man, we're cool." And I have a great deal of respect for Jim Kelly. I see him all the time, and you know, I'm glad he's in the Hall of Fame. But he could have been a Hall of Fame linebacker. Yeah. He was that tough of a player.
Yeah, that was the word on the street. Jim Kelly was a tough SOB. Talking to Marty Lyons, former color commentator, former New York Jet, played his entire career with the New York Jets. And, of course, he brought up the Alabama Crimson Tide, a three-time SEC champion in a national championship. Marty Lyons here on the River Islands Guest Line. All right. Where could the Niners attack the Jets? I'm looking at this offensive line. Terry Smith, they're bringing from the Dallas Cowboys. Moses on the other side. Is that the weakness of the Jets right now offensively, Marty?
Offensively, I think that you're going to be very surprised if they can get the ball to the tight end. I think Tyler Coughlin is one of those players that is unknown. He's a quality player. He can keep the middle of the field honest for the Jets. He can be that safety valve that, you know, Aaron's going to need if Garrett Wilson or Mike Williams doesn't get open. You know, look for the tight end to have a big game.
And what about the defense? You know, obviously Sauce Gardner is a guy, you bring his name up, everyone just, wow, he's an awesome player, awesome cornerback who's obviously into golf right now as well with all his videos. Where are the soft and good spots of this defense for the Jets?
Well, I think any good defense starts up front, and you got Quinnen Williams yeah. up there, and you got Michael Clemens, who's having a good camp, and Jermaine Johnson. Of course, he went to the Pro Bowl last year. And if they can ever get Reddick in here, that's going to be another addition for him. And then you got C.J. Mosley, you know, running that defense. He's the captain of the team. He'll make sure everybody lines up in the right spot. And, you know, this is going to be a very aggressive defense. They don't hold anything back, and they rotate those defensive linemen in there, same as the 49ers, so that you can wear down the offensive line. And if they can do that, then it takes less pressure off the secondary.
How's our boy Javon Kinlaw doing out there?
You know, I think he, you know, went through training camp, got the reps that he needed. Again, none of the starters played in the preseason game, so you don't know. But I do know that they took about 300 more reps this year than they did last year in training camp. And from what I understand, this training camp was a lot harder than the last three underneath Rob Saleh. So I think you know, Rob Saleh knows that, hey, you know what? Your record is what it is. It's 18-33. They got to win. And they're putting it all out on the line this year to go for it all, try to make the playoffs. First, you got to go through Buffalo and win the AFC East, and then you got to win the conference, and, you know, you got to go through probably Kansas City or Cincinnati. The AFC is really loaded with a great deal of young quarterbacks. You got Tua down there in Miami. So you got to take it one game at a time. And this is the biggest game of the year because it's Monday Night Football. It's opening. It's the opening day. And you got to go out there and play. And I think, you know, my opinion is I think it's better that they're on the road rather than at home. And you're going out there and you're playing a San Francisco team that is loaded with talent, and you got to be ready to play.
Why do you think it's better for them to start on the road? Because of the pressure in New York City, the fan base and everything like that?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know what, if you can go out and you can play well against the 49ers, then you go down to Tennessee and you play well there. Then you come back on a Thursday night and you open up your season at home against the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
So that stadium will be rocking. And, yeah, there's a lot of pressure, up here in New York to go out and perform. And every game you have to perform. And if you look at the number of quarterbacks that they played last year, and if you had Aaron in there as the quarterback, and they scored 17 points, just 17 points, they would have had three more victories.
Wow.
Instead of being 7-10, you're 10-7. It's an entirely new ball game.
Wow. Wow. I'm looking at the schedule here, Marty. Niners, Titans, Patriots, Broncos. Jets could get off to a very hot start and get that fan base rolling before they go overseas to take on the Minnesota Vikings. But before you go, you know we had to play it. One of the most iconic sounds in NFL history. Here you go. Give it up the business, baby.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That low snap and throws it away. He saw Bell was well covered and Marty Lyons all over Jim Kelly. Now Kelly may have said something to Lyons and players from both sides heading out of the field.
Foul.
I'll pick this up.
A number 99 of the defense after he tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there at the 15-yard penalty.
Giving him a business, but
saw right there what Marty Lyons is all about. It was not Gastineau 99, it was Lyons 93, and you saw Marty patting Kelly on the head.
Marv Albert on the call.
You know what? It's been a long time, but I still got goosebumps. It gets you excited. You know, as a former player, you love opening day.
Oh,
you
man.
Know, and you really do. And you know what? It makes me want to say, hey, I can lace up my shoes for just one more play. But that's not going to happen.
You don't have one more play in you, Marty? It sounds like
no,
you do.
No, no, no. You know what? I try to get shoes now that have Velcro on it.
Oh, my gosh. Don't say that. Marty, are you going to come out? Because I hear you're working with the front office or whatnot. Are you traveling with the Jets or you stand
no,
back
I'm
east?
No, I'm not going to travel. I decided to just step down. Anthony Beck is, you know, going to do a great job. Bob Wischusen still going to be the play-by-play. But, you know, there comes a time when you want to spend more time with your family, more time with your grandchildren. And, you know, 22 years up in the booth, I had the best time.
No doubt.
I had the best time with all the people that I had the opportunity to work with, in particular Bob Wischusen, and to be able to call so many games and look back and say, hey, there was only four games that I missed in 22 years, and that's when I had a stroke and I missed the first four preseason games. But then on the negative side, how many family events did I miss? Because I had the obligation of traveling with the Jets, and I missed nephews and nieces' weddings. And they understood. They said, hey, you know, Uncle Marty, we know that you have this responsibility with the Jets. So I don't want to do that, you know, a second time with the grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, Marty. Well, good. I'm glad you spent some time with us. It's great to talk to you. I can't wait for this 30. I'm really a sucker for 30 for 30s and learning the history, not only the NFL, but all these sports, but the New York Sack Exchange. This sounds like it's going to be a really good one. Marty, take care, brother.
Thanks
for the time this morning.
All right, my pleasure. Let's talk after the 30 for 30. It should be interesting.
Oh, I can't wait. When does it get released, Marty? When's it coming out for the people out there?
We don't know. I think the last time I talked to the producer, they said sometime between September and December.
Oh,
you know, and that's a long time.
That is a long time.
But, yeah, I'd love to spend some time with you and get your opinion on it and have a few laughs because I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I really do. The New York Sack Exchange. Marty Lyons, part of that New York Sack Exchange. Thanks for the time as Marty Lyons joined us here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Mark Acido. So in that market, think about that in the 80s. Because we veer off just a little bit off of Niners and Jets. On one side of New York, you had Lawrence Taylor and the New York Giants.
And their crazy defense.
Yeah, Carl Banks, Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, Jim Burt. I mean, they were loaded. Loaded. Then you got the New York Jets. They've got a guy named Mark Gastineau. Well, Lawrence Taylor stole all the headlines because they were winning Super Bowls and big-time playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Gastineau had the sack record, the single-season sack record. And then, of course, Michael Strahan broke it when Brett Favre laid down for him, which was pretty weak, in my opinion. But Mark Gastineau had the single-season sack record. He's a name that a lot of people don't know about. And from just hearing from Marty, he's probably one of the legendary characters of the 80s. Matt DeHigan always talks about 80s football, saying, dude, Gastineau was a badass.
Well, they took Marty Lyons and Gastineau in the first and second rounds that year in 1979. And I've done a deep dive on the 79 draft many times because the Niners didn't have a first-round draft pick, mm-hmm. and that was the year that they found Dwight Clark and Joe Montana, right? And it was one of the more seminal moments. Montana, have you ever looked at the 79 draft?
Yeah.
Dan Hampton.
Yeah.
You can't talk about Bears football.
Nope.
Okay?
Nope.
All right. Phil Sims, Otis Anderson, Kellen Winslow. It is a who's who of players from the 80s.
Bill Walsh liked Phil Sims out of Morehead State. He liked him. He did.
Marty Lyons, Gastineau in the second round. Joe Montana in the third round. Yep. Bob Golic in that same draft. It's a who's who. Kenny King, Raiders, you know, just throwing that out there.
Kenny
obviously
King Jr.
played for the Houston Oilers as well. It was a who's who. But when I think of 80s football, when I think of me and my brother watching VHS tapes and the New York Sack Exchange, as well as Ronnie Lott and the Niners with Michael Carter later on and Charles Haley later on, Fred Dean, and the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears. And then I think of those teams. I would throw in later the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Defense was a huge part of that. And so a lot of people make the argument about Brady. You know, Brady played in a different era, blah, blah, blah. Look at some of the hits.
Yeah.
That those defenses, and again, these were when we were celebrating that, we're putting them on VHS tapes, the hits on turf, like concrete turf, they're out of this world.
Well, you had the Philadelphia Eagles, Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons,
Eric Allen,
Seth Joyner, Eric Allen at corner. Then you also had Washington, Charles Mann and Dexter Manley. There's the two pillars on defense alongside with Darryl Green, one of the fastest players in NFL history, alongside their offensive line, the Hogs, with Mark May, led by Mark May. Yeah, Mark Slare at the company. They were loaded. Joe Jacoby, they were sick. So then you get the New York Sack Exchange. Later on, you get the Buffalo Bills with Bruce Smith and Cornelius Bennett and Daryl Talley. But the New York Sack Exchange kind of gets overlooked, and they were in a lot of big playoff games. They played the Raiders at the L.A. Coliseum for a berth to the Super Bowl and lost. You know what I'm saying? They lost that Cleveland game in which they led late in the game and a big-time penalty by Mark Gastineau, which was very questionable at the time. Very questionable late hit, if you go back and watch it. And that really destroyed the Jets. They were dominating that Cleveland Browns game, dominating Marty Schottenheimer. And so nobody really knows about the New York Sack Exchange. But look at these numbers for Mark Gastineau. All right, his rookie year, he only has two sacks. starts one game. Second year is 24 years old, 11 and a half sacks. Third year in the league, 20 sacks. 20 sacks in the season. All right, 82, 9, 6 sacks.
Well, that's the player strike.
The strike years, yeah. So he'll play 9 games. Niners didn't make the playoffs, they're like 3-6. Then the next year, 83, 19 sacks. 84, 22 sacks. Then he follows it up at 85 with 13 and a half. Then his career just kind of falls off.
Well, I know that a couple of fun facts. The only reason I know this is I went down the rabbit hole during the Flavor Flav show when Flavor Flav had his show and Brigitte Nielsen and him were doing their thing. Gastineau was married, or I guess was with, Brigitte Nielsen, who was one of the biggest stars of the 70s and 80s. And it's like, what? He retired? He was the all-time sack leader? Well, because I know the sacks became a recorded sack in 82, and Deacon Jones was all up in arms over it.
Yeah, he said he had 30 sacks in the season, Deacon Jones.
Yeah, well,
you talk about characters in the NFL. I love a Deacon Jones.
But Gastineau retired, the all-time sack leader, you know? And he was a very complicated individual off the field. There was a lot of steroid stuff with him. There was a lot of, you know, domestic violence stuff with him. He served jail time, if I'm not mistaken. And he's been a guy who's been very outspoken regarding the way that they used to play in the 80s affected his brain and affected his psyche. And so, those Jets teams get lost in the sauce.
They do.
I mean, they really do.
They do. Freeman McNeil was the running back. Wow. Wow.
I think about like the New York Sack Exchange, and I think like, is that what people think about the Harbaugh Niners?
I don't know. That's a great
question. Outside of this market, because that team means a lot to people out here. But when you don't win at all, do you just kind of get forgotten?
Yeah. The Harbaugh years, it does feel like it's getting forgotten. We're going to have Frank Gore on tomorrow morning at 6:30. And I was thinking about this on the way in, just thinking about Shanahan and the 49ers. And Shanahan has already had a more successful run than Harbaugh. I didn't think it was possible. It's Harbaugh's first 3 years. NFC Championship, and a Super Bowl appearance. Well, Shanahan has superseded that. He's been here longer, but he superseded whatever Jim Harbaugh did here with San Francisco. And they still have the players. And there's not, I don't get the sense that, you know, with Harbaugh, felt like he wore guys out. Guys started talking after the fact. Boone comes to mind. A lot of players, Jim Harbaugh, this and that, divided the team with the whole Alex Smith and Kaepernick situation, where apparently Alex Smith came into practice, thought he was taking the first team reps, or Harbaugh stopped practice. Like, nope, Kaepernick's coming in the middle of everybody. It was like, whoa, what's going on here? Now, I don't know if the story's true or not, but that's what I heard. You get the sense the players really, really like Shanahan. We had George Kittle on, get Brock Purdy on. We see the pictures of Rick Ross, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. The players are not tired of Shanahan. So already, the culture, it's not fractured at all. At all. So Shanahan's run, if you would have thought when they hired Shanahan, you said, boy, is he going to have a more successful run than Jim Harbaugh? I think a lot of Niner fans would have said no.
Well, I mean, probability would tell you that's really difficult to surpass.
Right.
And he
surpassed it.
Absolutely.
He surpassed it.
Absolutely.
And I don't even think it's close. He's running away with it.
Well, think about this. Does the offense feel better today than it was in 2018, 19, 20?
Oh, the offense is so much better.
I feel like the one huge knock on that Niners team was that the defense started to slip and the offense started to really slip.
Yep. And the offense was never really leading the charge.
No. Well, 2012 they did.
They were good. But
Since when Justin Smith tore his pec. That defense was just never the same.
But boy, like these offenses are explosive. Like, Kaepernick was explosive. Vernon Davis had his explosive moments.
But not like this.
Not even close to this. Not even close. And so, boy, the Harbaugh, so like the New York Sack Exchange, it gets forgotten about. I'm glad they're getting a 30 for 30. That's why the 30 for 30s are great. Like, I never knew about Marcus Dupree. And then the 30 for 30 comes out, and it was like the best it never was.
Yeah, one of the greatest.
And I end up crying at the damn end of the 30 for 30. I was sitting there sobbing.
When he has the concussion and goes into the wrong huddle, it's like a whoa.
Well, no. When he gained all that weight.
Well, yeah.
And then he made a comeback to make the Rams preseason squad or make the training camp. He should have made the squad. But to see him work hard just to get another shot. This stuff made me cry, man. I mean, Oklahoma, he was a badass.
Well, I know my boy Dellis texted this in a variety of different times, and I think Filmo Mike has echoed this as well. It freaking sucks when a core of guys that you hold so dearly to your soul as a sports fan doesn't walk away when they have multiple opportunities to win it all with that championship, and you look back with regret. Like, I think of Kent and Bonds. It's like, yeah. God, how did they not win one?
Not one.
Right?
Not one. And Dusty. Throw Dusty in there.
Absolutely.
As a manager.
Right? And I look back at that, the Niner core of Gore and Willis and Smith and Bowman and all those guys, and whether you liked Cap or Alex or both of them or whatever, like Staley, the fact they didn't walk away with a championship, it's like, God, it's like criminal, you know what I mean? Yes. And I'm looking at this version of the Niners, and I feel like the hard part to swallow, they're freaking awesome. Getting up off the mat after losing the way they've lost so many times in heartbreaking fashion. It's like, are we really going to come out of this run and not have another championship? Like, gosh, I know nothing's given, and I get where Steiny was coming from. Like, no one's saying it's our
run. But nobody's saying.
Can we just come out of one of these runs with one championship? Yeah, That's the part. Like, the Eagles got that championship. And so, like, Lane Johnson and Fletcher Cox and that kind of core of Eagles could say, like, we got ours, you know? I look at the New York Giants and Strahan and Osio Mignola and Eli. Like, we got ours. The Chargers are looking like, we never got ours. Well, we were awesome for a decade.
Well, just listen to Lil Neal yesterday at the Summit.
There's pain in that man's soul.
He played. I remember that game like it was yesterday, and I remember when Marty Schottenheimer had the football life, and he told McCray, you're going to get an interception today, and you're going to need to get down. And he didn't get down, and he fumbles, and the Patriots get back in the game, and they still won at old Jack Murphy Stadium. And then, Lil Neal, you know, you think about the Chargers, they had a great run under North Turner.
Yeah.
They go to Indianapolis and beat the Colts. And I remember that game going into halftime. They had screwed the Chargers or something. I think they returned a touchdown. They called a penalty. Something happened. And North Turner went crazy. I never seen North Turner go crazy. I was like, wow, look at North Turner. He's showing some fire. Then they go to Foxborough, Gillette Stadium in New England. And Phillip Rivers got to play on a torn ACL. And LT's done. You know what I'm saying? Those Charger teams were special, special. So you can hear the pain alone. He lost the freaking Super Bowl by a yard. A yard. Kevin Dyson gets tackled at the one. And Lil Neal, I could see the pain in his face. So, look, to Steiny's point about, I don't know where that came from, about fans expecting the Super Bowl. Nobody in this fan base expects a Super Bowl. If anybody knows that the Super Bowl is not given, it is this fan base.
Well, there's almost like a Utah Jazz feel where it's like your team is so good, but there's this dude on the other side that just keeps crossing you over, right? I hate that analogy.
But you know what, though? I look at those Super Bowls and I say, they have Mahomes.
Well, so did the Utah Jazz.
No, I never thought the Utah Jazz had a shot against the Chicago Bulls. I didn't think they had one living shot.
It was in game six.
No, I was.
You didn't think they had a shot?
No, absolutely not. I thought the Bulls were going to win those series in five games. I never thought Utah was winning the damn chance. I'm sorry, that's just me. I never thought Michael Jordan was losing.
I think that people thought they had a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I never thought Michael Jordan was losing. I'm sorry. I remember playing pickup basketball at DeBose Park, and this old guy, this dude was like African. I'll never forget this. I swear to God. We're playing pickup basketball. It's the second time they played the Jazz. And somebody's like, yeah, Utah's got it, because they were up like 40 in one of the games.
Well,
and
they blew them out one game.
And the guy stopped the game and was like, you mean to tell me you think the Utah Jazz are winning the NBA Finals against Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls? And the guy goes, are you out of your damn mind? I'll never forget this. But I was like 13 years old.
But if you're a Jazz fan, you're not thinking like that. Like, so
I don't know.
Outside of here, maybe people think about that with the Niners. Like, you think you're beating Mahomes? Like, I don't know how people think about the Niners outside of here. I just know from the perspective of, if you were a Jazz fan, you had to think you were winning.
I don't know. I think even Jazz fans probably thought, boy, we got...
I mean, you had two Hall of Famers.
Yeah, but you're going against Black Jesus, man. And you got Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. But I hear what you're trying to say.
We're like, you're knocking on the door, and it's just... It's like, gosh, I mean, we could look back on this, and he's the Michael Jordan of the NFL, right, to some degree. And the guy, he's going for his fourth championship. He's 28 years old.
But even then, like, when I look at last Super Bowl, the Chiefs defense stood out to me. Spagnuolo was the best coach in that game.
Steve Kerr Chris hit a Jones, shot. John Paxson Christian, hit shots. Like, Chris, but you no, need but players,
no, but,
yes.
But no, Chris Jones dominated that football game. Their linebackers dominated that football game. Their corners dominated that football game. The way the Chiefs defense stifled the 49ers, Mahomes was okay in that game. He was okay.
He led a drive at the end to tie the game where they ended up on whatever the 2 or 3 yard line. They should have scored a touchdown at the end of regulation. And then he got the ball back and then marched down the field and threw a touchdown pass to win in overtime. Could say, like, their defense was really good. Of course they were really good. Teams win. Like, Brady was a great player. He also needed a team. Like, no one's doing it by themselves. Well, I don't care what sport it is, all right? Like, some guys can have outlier performances, and Chris Jones was awesome. Awesome. Jordan doesn't win without Pippen.
I mean, Chris Jones dominated the fourth quarter in both Super Bowls. Dominated.
Yeah.
And now their playmakers made plays, and Mahomes is special. There's no doubt about that.
Did Curry win any rings without help?
But see, here's the thing with Utah Jazz. I never felt like, boy, they blew the series. No, the Bulls took the series. Well, I mean, the Bulls are the better team.
It's also 30 years removed. But
I
remember in real time.
I watched those games inside and out. I've watched those games multiple times. Utah never, like, they scored 54 points in one of the finals games, for crying out loud. The Niners literally had 10-point leads in these games. Literally had commanding leads in a football
game. That's like leading.
10-point lead with 7 minutes left and a 3rd and 15. Literally 3rd and 15 with 10 minutes left in Super Bowl 54.
All right, so then you want the LeBron Warriors game 7? Like, they were up, and it was a tie game with 2 minutes to go. Like, I can make the same comps. It still hurts the same.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But also, when the conversation started, it was like, Niner fans feel like they deserve one. I don't know about that. Niner fans know how hard it is to get to
them. They deserve one. They just want one. They just want one desperately. And if you look at the teams that knock on the door, last 25 years, what other team has knocked on the door without the ring more than the Niners?
See,
In sports, who is it?
No, I look at it like this, though, before I answer that question. Literally, I'm thinking back to these Super Bowls, and I can't get over it because you had a 10-point lead in one of both Super Bowls, for crying out loud. And although Mahomes is on the other side, I look back and say, boy, the Niners shot themselves in the foot. My head coach coached scared. My head coach coached timid. My head coach called the wrong plays. My center doesn't block. My quarterback doesn't make a throw. My receiver may run the wrong route. Like, there's so many little variables, but the Niners literally had control of those games. Literally had control of those games. All those other teams, like the Warriors, never had control of Game 7.
The Bills should have won if they don't go wide right. Right? Like, I mean, we could play this until we're blue in their face. Like, there are a lot of similarities. There are some differences. Like, I get where you're coming. But no other team, name a team in baseball that's knocked on the door and lost more than the Niners.
Atlanta Braves.
They won a ring.
They got that ring, but they knocked on the door a long time. You think Braves fans are satisfied with the one ring?
No, but I'll
winning
take,
14 straight division
let's
championships?
Trade places. I'll trade places with
the
them.
The Detroit Tigers were knocking on the door for a long time with Justin Verlander and company. Did not win. The Minnesota Twins. I don't think they've been out the first round. Did they make it out the first round yet? Yeah, they kept knocking on the door with Joe Mauer, Justin Morneau, and Torrey Hunter and all those guys.
If you lost 7 times in the ALCS and 3 times in the World Series in a 15-year period, that would be equivalent to what the Niners have done.
The Baltimore Orioles knocking on the door all those years. The Cleveland Guardians.
Baltimore, I'll listen to.
The Cleveland Guardians.
The 90s.
Oh, my God.
The one World Series,
They didn't even win that one.
No,
you know what I'm saying? But even the 90s and then later on with Jose Ramirez and Terry Francona, they had 3-1 lead. 3-1 lead. So, I mean, you know, even the Dodgers, if you don't count their World Series, the Mickey Mouse ring.
The Dodgers is the closest, but they did win.
Got to win one. There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
3rd and 15. I'll contend that 3rd and 15, Super Bowl 54, with 7 minutes of change left, changed the course of NFL history. 3rd and 15. Busted coverage. 3rd and 15. Oh, I hate going back down that rabbit hole. NFL is back in action tonight. Chiefs and Ravens. Chiefs will be taking the field without Hollywood Brown as he continues to deal with the shoulder injury. He hasn't practiced this week.
should be back either week two or week three for the Kansas City Chiefs as Hollywood Brown gets acclimated with Patrick Mahomes and, of course, Xavier Worthy, Rasheed Rice and company. Injury Report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Look, once upon a time, Aaron Rodgers wanted to be drafted by the Niners. And he said, they're going to regret it. Niner fans, do we still regret not selecting Aaron Rodgers? If not, if you could change anything else that the Niners have done, what would you do? What would you change? Would it be the Trey Lance draft pick? Would it be the Jimmy Garoppolo signing? Would it be Aaron Rodgers? What would you change? 888-957-9570 as we continue to ramp up for week one of the NFL season. Jets and Niners, September the 9th at Levi's Stadium, 5:15 kickoff Monday, and we'll be all over it here at 95.7 The Game. Details on the other side, and that's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.